We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with our Pottawatomie County officials. We've got County Commissioner Dee McKee and County Planner Stephen Metzger. We're going to talk a little bit more about some news going on over in the Blue Township area. And we were talking here during the break, Dee, that there's another major part of the groundbreaking here for Flint Hills Christian School.
Yes, they had the groundbreaking, but now they have, and they've been working with planning to get all of the authentications and planning pieces in place, and they started actually digging the dirt out of the foundation on the west side of the school. That will be a new expansion of the grade school. They already have 100 people on their waiting list to go to that school, and then they're going to do the high school as well. And very highly respected school for many people that are coming out of Manhattan. That adds to our traffic, too, that the kids are coming from out of Manhattan. It's maybe a replacement what used to be Lucky High School when they finally get there, but very excited about their development and their growth, and that puts a second school on Green Valley Road. So when I talk about needing routes, I'm not just making this up. Yeah. I don't want a child on a bicycle or walking to have any kind of incident. And planning did do some demonstration projects with the transportation committee out of the thing to see if we can make things better. I'm not sure that we had any great complaints, but they still have real frustrations about some of them not even being able to go to that school and being bused into town from Whispering Meadows and Elbow Creek, that they're not even getting to go to the new school. And that takes some people quite a bit of character to not say things they shouldn't say. But it's nice to see that growth over there. And then we have the Crestview Christian Church that just opened up on Excel Road, and they have quite a large congregation. As a matter of fact, after they started, and it's about 6 months later, they're adding more parking lots. So we're excited to have those people over there praying for us, because we can use all the prayers we can get. And I think they're very community-involved groups. And so we welcome that, as well as the idea of having a grade school over there that can serve the kids.
I really like with that project specifically that they're going to have an entrance to the north. I hope that traffic flow maybe a little go over to Excel.
Well, and I went and talked to the guys at the county, as well as their Mr. Zimmerman, their superintendent. And as soon as they get the crops harvested off of that little piece of ground, they'll talk about whether they can start that right away. And just, they had asked for that entry, but just make an alternative route that can go out and over to Excel and around. Maybe everybody doesn't want to use it, but having alternatives when you're moving traffic and you're moving kids is, it should all be in a nice orderly route, but you can't stop moving them because otherwise they'll just go on their own.
Yeah, and yeah, that was part of the, you know, there's been a little bit of delay with the Flint Hills Christian Schools addition. It's an addition that is basically going to double the size of that school, and any kind of project that big, one of the things that we needed as a staff and as a planning commission was a traffic study. And so we got that traffic study from them, and Planning Commission looked it over and made sure that the impacts of that school weren't going to overburden Green Valley Road any more than, I guess for some people it already is. So that's something that we really wanted to look at before we really gave a go-ahead for this project. County Commission will get that plat here in the coming days, I think, either next week or the week after, and then we'll be able to go from there. Hmm.
Did you give them a provisional or something? I know they're digging. Been over there a couple of times to find out what.
There were a lot of moving parts with this project, one of which was their initial plan had the building too close to the road, which is not uncommon. And so they had to do what's called a plat, where they could reduce that setback, where they could build that building as close as they wanted to. That would obviously delay the building of the project. And so what us and the city of Manhattan who do our code inspections, as you know, what we kind of worked out is, let them build that building, that portion of the building that wouldn't be too close to the road. And then as we work through this platting process, that last bit can kind of come in a little bit later. So that's what they're working on now, is the portion of the building that fits within the building envelope. And as staff, planning commission, county commission all work to approve that lesser setback for the rest of the building.
Hmm. Now, I know that it was discussed in August, and then I think came in around early September, or maybe late August. There were some temporary projects to help kind of improve the safe routes to school around Oliver Brown Elementary, like some temporary islands to kind of help
Yeah. The Flint Hills Metropolitan Planning Organization that we work with on a lot of different things, they have done numerous safe routes to school plans for Junction City, Manhattan. I think they're doing one for St. George Rock Creek right now, as well as Oliver Brown, 383. And as something that they've done everywhere is these what they call demonstration projects, which are temporary, very, very cheap, you know, $100 or $200 as opposed to several thousand for a permanent project, to kind of let the public visualize what some of these improvements might look like. So before they did Green Valley Road, which we'll talk about, they did some projects in St. George as well. That was fairly well received. And then for Blue Township, what they did was they put a pedestrian island, which I'm sure if you've been up Green Valley Road, I'm sure you've seen it. They did a pedestrian island there. And they also extended the curb at the Oliver Brown Elementary School so that there wasn't basically 60 feet of uninterrupted pavement that kids had to cross every day. Those projects are temporary. We'll be taking them down next week. We've been soliciting feedback ever since then. A lot of that feedback has been, if I could summarize it, you know, hey, these are fine, but, you know, there are other things that we would like before we do some of these projects, which is good information to hear. And in fact, when we were taking one down last week, a lady drove through there and said, oh, man, are you taking these down? We really love this. So, you know, overall, I think it's been a positive thing. Of course, we get negative comments. Of course, we get folks who say, I don't like making this turn a little wider than I have to. But the beauty of these is we can get that information without having to expend thousands and thousands of dollars on something that we can then can't take back out if it doesn't work. So that's really the gist of these projects. And it's been interesting to do.
You know, what I like about this particular project, this is a kind of an example of county government, in my opinion, being proactive and avoiding any possible issues with accidents or, you know, God forbid a kid gets hit by a car. This is good stuff, and I'm glad it didn't cost a lot. You know, it's finding solutions to problems that might come up.
You think the general would give me one of those drop-down bridges to try over the Blue River so we can see if this would be a good project? So yeah. If you have any connections, give me a call. There are a lot of things like that, and it's most interesting to be a commissioner at this time and watch all this money being handed down with strings on it. I guess I'm going to say is that we don't. It's not a free how you can do it. I'm exiting from the process of what they did. I think it was educational, but one of the things that I've seen, just as an example of the money, so that people are out there can think on it. And I'm not always right, or my husband would tell me I am. So I'm going to just say this is my perception. But we started out with the federal money, the SPARK money, and we gave raises to the healthcare people in our county because they were overworked, and we gave them more workers, funded more positions. And then I understood that the schools were given money to have nurses in school. And then recently, the governor with the federal money has said that they would give raises to all the healthcare workers up to $13 an hour. I have been a director of special ed in Manhattan School District as well as the rural district, and I was saying to them, why would you take nurses from the nursing homes and the hospitals and put them in schools? Because the kids in schools aren't sick. They are not necessarily in need of a nurse or an RN. They might have somebody that, CNA, that can hold their hand, but in general, if they're doing a room that's sequestered because they might be exposed, the teacher's in charge. And meanwhile, all these expenses that they are saying you must put in salary are going to be something that the counties and cities will face, depending on if you have a city school or, a city hospital or a county hospital all across the state of Kansas. How do we maintain that salary change as this thing gets tighter and more difficult and the funds don't come down? The implication as to how we should do this and then what will happen next is worthy of consideration against this looks like a great idea. It's the same that I've had a call from some of our apartment managers who say, you know, they want me to let people stay in here and they're going to pay their money. But here's the problem. I'm still paying the mortgage. I'm paying the utilities and I'm still paying the rent. And some of them didn't even want them to keep to give back the deposit for cleaning the buildings. those people, if they can't make those payments, the counties will do tax sales. We're pretty regular doing ours. We're 1 year behind because of COVID, but every 3 years they will lose their property. And we have to think broadly about how we maintain the structure of our local, especially rural systems, as opposed to just answering it by throwing money at it and then not understanding how do you maintain that down the line. That's kind of a free little speech, but boy, I see it in many, many places. And I think everybody needs to think through broadly, how do we make sure we're still whole in 3 or 5 years from now?
Yeah, good point. Looks like we're, let's take a break. We'll see if we get any phone calls here.
They're all sleeping. I'll sleep late.
And Focus continues after this on K-Man.